Every once in a while, the Lord will mark a special day. This is one for you. Or he'll call you to his banqueting table. The king will invite you to sup with him this day. Even as Zacchaeus. Come, he said, for I will sup with you. For I've loved you. Even when you haven't loved yourself. And I have believed for you when you haven't believed yourself. I don't always listen to the outward words, but I hear the heart. And although with a mouth in great frustration thou hast spoken words so bitter, so harsh, so hard, I have chosen to look at thine heart. For I have given you a heart to love me. But thou art frustrated. I have purposed to give you the inheritance of thy fathers. Yet thou canst not see it. I have appeared to thee, but very few times. Know, my child, that is a very high privilege. It is a very high honor when I come and make myself known. When I break through the threshold of your consciousness and you behold my presence, when your inner man can hear my voice, is because you've been lifed within and given life within. Your sins have been covered from the moment I shed my blood upon the cross. I chose to forgive all your sins because I included you in my death. Before you were ever born, I knew you. For I not only died in this world, but I died in the eternal world. Forever, once. And in the realm of infinity and eternity, I beheld all those for whom this blood would be shed, both past, present, and future. And you were one of them, for I saw thee, and I embraced thee and brought thee into my cross. And that day you died. Thousands of years before you existed, you died. Because I took you with me. And I purposed in my purposes that all that I was to inherit, I would give unto thee. But be strong, for thou art weak. And have I not made a weak vessel, saith the Lord? Have I not appointed to one to be strong and to another? He might be weak, but I have special strengths to reveal through you before your life is over with, and I cannot reveal these strengths through any other thing but weakness. And when in this weakness thou art brought in, my strength will begin to be revealed. You long for me to speak to you, but that is a great privilege. Seek for it. I will grant them to you. For I have purposed to make myself known unto you. I have purpose to walk with you. Mention no more your sins, for it hurts me when you will not believe. For I've told you in the past, and I tell you again, not just the sins you committed, but all in your lifetime and all your failures have been recorded. I embraced them in the cross. They died with you. They died with me. I have no further work to do. It is finished. All you must do is bring them to me, that I might be aware that you know. That is why you confess, so that we know that it's dealt with and that you forsake them. I am the Lord God of your fathers. And the day will come when with your own lips you will say, thou art my God, for I will be that unto you. When thou seekest pursuits in this world, make them only passing. Make them only temporary, for I have plans for your life, and you want those plans. And you want me to tell you everything ahead of time, but I don't do this. When you obey the first step, I will give you the next. And so there will be an ongoing revelation of my way for your life, and my purposes will be unfolded. Be not anxious with me, nor impatient, for in the right time, in the right moment, I will come to you and unfold the next stage for your life. Seek for them, for I will not always come to you. You must sometimes come to me. I want you to come to me. You run from me because you fear me. But I have not yet called you friend, but I've called your fathers my friends, and I will be your friend, and what you desire in your heart will be a reality. And you see this impossible. You look beyond and say, Lord, I just cannot be what they are. I just cannot have this God they have. Why do you weep? Why do you get mad? Why does it cause such violent reactions when you so much as think on the subject? It's because you desire it with all your heart and feel like maybe it's not for you. You know, my child, I have forever. I can wait. I can wait until you grow up. I can wait until you seriously start seeking me. I can wait until your heart throbs and aches to know me. Even more than now. So much so that you seek for water as one who is dying. You will find them when you seek for me like that. When you seek for me as the only thing in life you want more than anything else, and refuse to run but come, you will find me. I will make myself known unto thee. For as you walk toward me, I will walk toward you, as in the parable of the prodigal. Thou hast wasted much of the giftings which I have given thee already. For in thine heart, thou art wild and free. But I am the Lord. I am greater than your freedom. I am greater than your fears. I am greater than your nature. Nature that you deplore and abhor. But thou knowest not the pain that you cause me when you say those things. because you abhor what I embraced at the cross. You abhor what I love. How can there be any fellowship unless you love what I love? You don't have to abhor yourself to love me. When I pour my love in your heart, you will love yourself, you will love your wife, you will love your father. You will love your mother, you will love the church. You will love my work. And I will put my love there. The love of a great compassion that already is working in your heart through the works of cruelty and pain. For thou knowest not that a great agent, the messenger of pressure and pain and suffering and patience, is sent unto thee to produce the vessel that I want. My little child, I wanted thee, or thou wouldst not exist. I called thee forth, but thou wouldest not be here. And what I say to you this day, I say to you in public, that when you forget, others might remind you. And so that which is scribed on tape, you can listen to again and again and not forget it. Bind it to your heart. Put it before your eyes and your ears. Listen to it again and again. For this day I have spoken to you through the mouth of my servant. But the day will come when I will speak to you face to face. Thou wilt not see my face. But the day will come when you will begin to hear my word in your inner heart. I have given those whom you love a very gracious treasure, a treasure which they hold higher than anything in their life except me. And that's that not only they can hear my voice when I speak to them, they can hear my voice when I speak to myself. If you will love me as they love me, I will give this to you as well. There is no honor on earth greater than that that I can convey to man. For this I only do to those who I deeply cleanse and love. Come to me now, for I have come to you. And fight with me no longer, for I fight not with you. I'm not at war with you, but I've come in peace. Son, peace. Peace. David, the anointing is flowing so strong through my body right now, it's numb from my head to my feet. Let him possess your body this morning. Give him, David, your body. For the Holy Spirit to fill, to confirm his word to you. I want all the young people and all the children that go to the old folks' home slowly come up here on the other side of the platform and just stand here for a few moments if you would. Now, kids, this is a very special day for you, because the Lord has been greatly pleased. One day he's going to bring the nations before him, and he's going to separate them like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he's going to send to damnation all the nations and the people who didn't care about someone else. And the righteous said, Lord, when did we see you needy and naked? When did we see you hungry and we fed you? When did we see you thirsty and we gave you to drink? And he said, in that thou hast done it to the least. You know, there's folks out there, kids, that are in their bed that can't even get up to turn a TV off or a radio on, can't even get up to get a drink of water when they're really thirsty. And you kids have gone over there and you've just held their hand and sung life into their spirit. And as they begin to cry, the Lord began to love. And you were instruments through which the Lord could touch them. This pleases the Holy Spirit very greatly. Very greatly. And what sometimes older folks won't do, God's going to do through you. He's going to separate you, and he's going to begin to love through you, and he's going to begin to minister through you. And when you hold someone's hand, he's going to hold it with you, and he's going to change them. And if you will pray for them to be healed, many will be healed. If you will pray for God to come to them, he will. If you will ask that their sins be forgiven them, he will forgive their sins because you have asked. His Spirit is with you. And thus saith the Lord, because you have held their hand, I will hold yours until the day you die. And I will be with you as you were with them. And when you are lonely, I will come and visit you. And when you are needy, I will come and minister unto you. And when you are depressed and low and in a fight, I will come and sing unto you. And that you have done it unto others, I will do it unto you. Take courage and do it the more. Every day you go, let me flow. All I want is a little vessel that will hold their hand and tell them that I love them, but I have no mouth, and I want yours. I don't have hands to hold their hands. I have your hands. I will heal through your hands. I will deliver through your hands. I will give them hope through your words. For you speak my words, and in that thou hast obeyed me, I will honor you before men, and I will be glorified in you. This day I will be glorified in you, and that thou hast honored and glorified my name before men, I will put in remembrance your name before the Father which is in heaven. This honor I have given thee. This honor I have given thee. Yes, what you're sensing upon your spirit is an anointing of the Holy Spirit. You're sensing as if Jesus was right there by you, speaking to you as I was speaking to you. This is real. This is very real. It's not just emotion. This is Jesus right there standing by you. Just receive him. Just raise your hands to him and receive him. He wants to fill you with his Spirit so when you go out there, he can flow through you. That's right. Every one of you, just your hands up. Now I want you to hold the hand of the person that's next to you. And both, all of you, hold it up like this. One hand by another. That's right. Look, there's a mighty anointing on me. If I pray for one of you, you're all going to go. Are you ready? The power of the Holy Ghost is upon you. Tell you what, there's a mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place. There's a mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit in this place. It delights the Lord. I tell you, it delights the Lord. What you're seeing here this morning is a manifestation of His Spirit. This isn't ministry. This isn't people. This is the Lord Himself here manifesting to all you adults how it pleases Him when we'll obey Him. And when we'll become His mouth in this earth and His hands in this earth, He witnesses it. What you're seeing this morning is the witness of His Spirit. That's a mighty witness of His Spirit, because these are children. They have no pretense. They don't try to fall. This is the Holy Ghost in this place. And the Lord is pleased with what they do. They would go into the old folks' home and just hold their hands and begin to sing to them. And people who would never leave their room would get up, weeping, tears down their face, hope brought to them for the first time in many, many years as they were confined. Some of them, they couldn't even get to talk. And they would begin to speak to these kids. And as they begin to minister to these people, life would begin to flow. I tell you, sometimes we're going to discover that all God wants is that simple obedience, just that simple something that makes Him special. Totally and absolutely special. This was a message for us, folks. These are our kids. Kids we didn't even have faith for. They'll go on before us. All God wants is for the rest of us to become as children. Just as simple children. And love Him. And now, the rest of us. For what I have spoken and what I have done in your midst this morning is because I have loved you and because I've loved your children. I have given words to you. Believe for them. Believe for them. Believe the words that I have given thee. Believe for thyself, for I have planned great things for you. Not great to build your ego, but great in development, in depth, in beauty, in glory. I have prepared these things for those that love me. And because you have set your love on me, great are the things that I have prepared for you. And this is just a beginning. I will move the city. They will know that I am here. I will speak to them through you. I will minister to them through you. For I have many, many in this city whose hearts cry out to me. And you will minister unto them. And there is many, this day there is many. We've been listening unto us. We'll know the Lord is here. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. Such a wonderful thing what God does. He reads the secrets of men's hearts because He knows them in His life. He knows them. You know, He knows them. And what the Lord's doing this morning, He's doing so that you will know that it's He that's doing it. I'm not praying for these folks. I'm not even touching them. That's because He's here, folks. If we'd only just learn to love Him, Jesus. I wish sometimes I could just see you, because you're so present. And sometimes this barrier that we have, faith isn't enough. But Lord, you said, having not seen whom we love. And I know you're standing right here in the midst of us. And if you were to make yourself visible, every single person in this place would fall. But you are standing right here. I know. And Lord, sometimes we just sing a song over and over and over and over, but if it pleases your spirit to not change this mood and leave it just like it is, that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. I want to tell you that you're so special when you minister. You're so different when you minister. You can You're so wonderful when you minister. There's such a flow of compassion and love. You know all things. Nothing is hidden from you. The heart is made bare and open before you. As you know my heart, you know the heart of every person here. My God, do all praises to you. I wish some of you that will be listening to this cassette could see this. Shortly the Lord will make it possible for you to see this. And in the same way that the Lord has ministered to them through these words, He is going to begin to minister to you. In the same way that they've needed me not to be there present to pray for them, but the Holy Spirit came upon them. Just like when all these children fell. Just like when everyone, as the Lord would speak to them, would fall into the power and their lives are changed, so is yours. Because the presence you are feeling right there where you are is the presence of Jesus. And He's not there just to look. He's here to do something for you this morning. He's come to do something for you now. I release you, wonderful Jesus. I release you. To every home, every life that will hear shall be changed by the glory of the Lord. What He desires to bring us into fellowship with Him. That's what's happening right now. It's His desire to bring you into fellowship with Him, where He manifests His presence to you and speaks to you, and we speak to Him, and He bears His heart out to us and tells us the truth, what things He likes and what things He does not, what things are a hindrance and what things allow Him to flow. And we bear our heart to Him, sometimes telling Him all the frustrations that are there and the inadequacies and the lack of faith. Sometimes it's just plain sin we must confess, but He understands. But then there comes a moment in our relationship and in our fellowship where He doesn't want to hear about sin or failures or things. He just wants to hear you. He wants to be with you. He wants to receive your love, your devotion. It's that moment where we're not running, doing something for someone else, but where we turn. And as the bridegroom, our very love and our very heart is turned toward Him. He brought you here this morning. You're not here by accident. He brought you here this morning. Because He wanted you to hear and see these things. not just that you might know that His Spirit and power can do many wonderful things, but so that you would know the fellowship of the Father with the Son and the Son with the Bride. This is His call. He is calling you into His fellowship. He's been able to minister through you. He's been able to minister to you. But sometimes all He wants is just our love. He wants us to fellowship with Him. But we're not in a hurry to leave and look at our watches. Where time flies by and you wonder where it all went. To beauty and the wonder of Jesus. It will last for just a few moments more, and then there's going to come a change. I'm already sensing in the Spirit there's going to come a change in just a few moments. Just love Him. Take it in. Is just making Himself beautiful to you and wonderful. That's what we said, that He might glorify His name. That's what He's doing, is glorifying His name. The Spirit is making Jesus wonderful to you. You can travel far and wide and go to many places in the world and not find a moment like this. Cherish it. Soak up, as it were, every moment of it. And feel no rush, absolutely no rush to leave. And if your body gets tired where it is, you can kneel or sit or go to a chair. He doesn't look at the outward, He looks at the heart. He knows that we are dust. He's so wonderful. Place so wonderful. One of the most marvelous things God could ever have done for us is bring us into fellowship with His Son. Jesus said something very interesting and very important. He said, "How I've desired, you have no idea how much I've desired to eat this Passover with you. How I've longed to sit down and commune with you." When He appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, it's when He sat down at the table and broke the bread that they knew who He was. That He made Himself known unto them. He had already died. They weren't expecting Him around. They thought that was the end of all relationship. They thought that was the end of all fellowship with the Lord. As He began to break the bread at the table, their eyes were open. The very next instant, you see Him at another table with the disciples. As He came through the door, an astonishment took hold of them. But He came in, said, "Behold, it is I, peace." And proceeded to eat with them and speak with them and commune with them and sup with them.
Just like when we have family moments, I find it sometimes harder to convey this in the United States than I do in other countries, because in other countries they're more family-minded. They're like we used to be. We even have words like sobremesa, which means an after meal, where you just sit around, you don't go anywhere, you just talk, you fellowship. It's that moment of bonding. We don't have that here in America. We have fast food stores here. But God still values family. He still values that moment at the table. He still values that moment with us. And Jesus said that he desired to be with them, not just to eat with them one more time and have good fellowship, but because this was different than any other time he'd sat down before them, because something new was going to begin to happen. He said, you see this wine, this cup that I offer you, this is a cup that's never been here before. It's a new cup. It's a new covenant. It's a new testimony. This is new. It's never been since time began. This is different. He said, well, how is it different? I feel sometimes we as humans are able to perceive the things of God more in contrast than we are, if someone should tell us. And so let me give you just a feel for the contrast. Up till then, the world had been under the wrath of God. The Lord had spoken so many times through many different sermons, prophets and servants. He'd made it so clear that he was causing the world to drink of the cup of wrath which he had poured out for them. And in one instance with Jeremiah, I believe it was, he said, and tell them, although they say they won't drink it, they will drink it. There are cups that the Lord serves that we drink, like it or not. And for many thousands of years, the cup that the world had to drink from that God had given them was a cup of wrath. That was the only communion we had with God. We'd sin, we'd fall, and there was an angry God in heaven. No one could appease or atone. Innocent animals had to die, not just to be eaten, but their blood had to be shed for no other reason than my sin, to make a temporary atonement to appease this God. And when I came to him, I could never come to him just like I am. I had to come to him with another life I had to shed. I had to come to him with blood I had to spill on my hands. I always came before him with blood. It's the only way you could ever come. And then you could only come so far. You could never come into the holies. You could never come into the Holy of Holies. You could never come into that place of his glorious presence revealed like we see this morning. You could never come in even to the place that was lit by the illumination of the Holy Spirit, the light of the candlestick, which was the fire of God that never burned out. That the priest constantly kept burning. The table of showbread, the communion with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, lighting our hearts. The communion with Jesus Christ, the bread of life, as was the table of showbread, the people never saw. Only certain special people who God said, out of everyone I will select a few and I'll live with it. But the cup was a cup of wrath. Job even said at one time in the 21st chapter, in the 20th verse, his eyes shall see his destruction and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. That's what they said of him. That what was happening to him was a cup of wrath of the Almighty. You can find it on and on and on, even in Psalm 63. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink of the wine of astonishment. In Psalm 75:8, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red and full of mixture, and poureth out the same, the dregs thereof. All the wicked of the earth shall wring them out, shall drink them. In Isaiah 51:17, wake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem now, not just the heathens of the world, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury and has drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. Verse 22, thus saith the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people, behold, I have taken out of thy hand the cup of trembling and the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Jesus, raising the cup, said, this is a cup of a new covenant. It's a different cup. You've never had this cup before. You're going to love this cup. For this is a cup of mercy. This is a cup of grace. This is a cup of fellowship. This is a cup of communion. This is a different cup. He said, before this cup can be given to you, I must die. He said, but you don't know how much I've looked forward to this moment. He said, I've wanted to give you this cup for thousands of years, and I've waited for the right moment, and now is the time. Now is the time that I must suffer and give my life as the Lamb forever slain once for all, for it shall be finished in a few days. And you'll be able to drink a cup you've never drunk from before. Never. Why do we sit still? In Jeremiah 14, assemble yourselves and let us now enter the defense cities. Let us be silent there of the Lord God. Put us to silence. He's given us the water of gall to drink because we have sinned against the Lord. Can you imagine? Anytime your heart sought after God, you had to drink the water of a cup of gall, of wrath. Fury. Mount Sinai was a place no one wanted to go to. They begged Moses that if for some unusual reason he could stand it, for him to do whatever had to be done. Yes. They didn't want any part of it. They couldn't take it. They couldn't handle it. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. Look up all the instances in Scripture. Do you know that there was a cup of suffering? There's a woman that came to Jesus and said, Lord, can my two sons be with you at your right hand when you are in your kingdom? He said, well, as to who assigns who to be in my kingdom, I don't know. But if they're going to be, I'll tell you, can they drink of the cup that I'm about to drink? Can they be baptized of the baptism whereunto I am going to be baptized? Can they go through the agony and suffering of having their life taken early? Can they be beaten with many stripes to the point where every single person till then had fainted and gone into comas? Can you handle that? Can you handle your life being poured out for someone else? He said, if you can, then indeed you can sit on my throne. But as to who places you there is not in my hands. That's up to the Father that's in heaven. But can you drink that cup? Being in Gethsemane at that point, crucial in his life where he had to make that choice, he said, Father, he said, I know I've come into the world for this hour, but is there any way that you can keep me from drinking this cup? But yet from this hour, I know that for this hour I've come into this world. I'll drink that cup. That cup was the cup of the sin of the whole world. We can't even stand a little bit of sin in our brother. Can you imagine drinking the cup of the sin of the whole world? I never had to drink that cup. I find my own offensive. I find yours offensive. Drink the cup of all of ours is beyond my imagination. The cup of suffering. The cup of a lamb brought into the world. That's beyond my ability to conceive, to understand. But he said, Father, I'll drink that cup that you've put before me. That was his cup. That was the cup of suffering. If you're able to endure this suffering for my name's sake, you'll sit upon my throne someday. But then there's the cup of communion, the fellowship. The wonderful fellowship. The Lord says, arise. He said, Song of Solomon, my fair one, come away. Come to my banquet, my special banquet of wine. That was a special privilege the kings gave to very few people. It was a banquet of love. Sometimes a banquet as a wedding. Sometimes it was a place of proposal. It was always a very special place, and very few people went to those banquets. He said, come, my fair one, my love. Come to my banqueting table. He said, and I will cause my banner to be over you, and it will be love. A cup man had never known before and never drunk from before. We drank from Christ that day. It was the cup of love. And the king had prophesied it in his second chapter of Song of Solomon, 1,000 years before it ever happened, that the day would come when we'd be invited to the banqueting table. Today we've been invited to the banqueting table, and the king is here. And he's drawn us into his love. And we've drunk from the cup of his communion and fellowship, and he's broken the bread, and he's given us the cup of the wine of his mercy and his grace. That's a cup that mankind never knew before. That's a cup that was never real to mankind before, was never available to man. This is something different. He said, this is a new covenant, which I make with my own blood. And he said, I want you to do something. He said, I would like you to serve wine and bread every so often so that you can remember what I did. So that you can remember that I took away the cup of wrath. I took away the cup of separation. I took away the cup of suffering. I took away the cup of distance. And I gave you a new cup, a cup that you can drink from, that's a new covenant, a new testament. Paul later the Hebrews says, you cannot have a new testament, you cannot have a will unless you have someone who's died to make that will possible. So the death of the testator, that we might come into the fullness of that inheritance which he has given unto us, whereby he, taking his own blood, went into the heavenlies, not as Moses, who in the form thereof went into the tabernacle to put the blood upon the mercy seat, but he who is now the true has gone into the heavenlies and purged once for all our sins. And what I want you to do, he said, and I so desire to do this with you. And every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me. I want you to remember who gave you this new cup. I want you to remember what price I paid to make this possible for you. I want you to know who personally came down out of heaven. We didn't send Michael. We didn't send Gabriel. We didn't send our mighty ones. We didn't even send saints that had already died and gone by. We didn't send an ambassador. God himself came in the flesh and paid the supreme price, being beaten, torn, that we might be made whole. That we might know the fellowship of Jesus Christ. That's a cup we never knew before. It's a cup that the king brought down to us. Do you know that it says in Luke and in Matthew that Jesus took the cup and gave it to them? Jesus took that cup and gave it. He's the only one that could truly give that cup. He is offering us this morning that cup to remember him, to remember his sufferings, to remember that he did away once and for all with a cup of wrath, that he did away once and for all a cup of suffering, and he's brought to us a new covenant, the covenant of sins forgiven forever, a covenant that when it was being rectified, when it was being acted, The veil of the temple was rent in twain, and it nevermore has been put back in place. For the all things were done away with, and behold, all things were made new. And from that day forth, there's been no veil between God and his people. It was completely done away with. Completely, completely, completely. That's why today we can stand in his presence. That's why today we can have fellowship. That cup, he said, I want you to remember. what made that possible. I want you to remember who did that for you. I want to serve you the bread. And as I do, I want you to see, and I want you to remember. I don't want it to just be in a figment of your imagination. I want you to see it in your mind's eye. He said, this is my body. It's not just a piece of bread. This is my body, which when you break it, was broken for you. This is a new covenant. It was broken for you. It was broken for you. You don't have to live broken. It was broken for you. Absolutely broken for you. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It was finished. Absolutely finished. Beautiful. 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 It was finished. If there is any trace of condemnation, if there's any trace of all that sense of evil, that sense of sin, that sense of sickness, or the reality of any one of them, He is here this morning to serve you and I this cup. He is here this morning to give us that cup. He wants to serve you this cup. And when He gives you this cup, He wants you to know, even as He was saying for David, when the Lord speaks public to someone, it's because He wants everybody to hear it, because it's for everybody, really. You know that. God just intended one person to hear it. He'd say it to him privately. The Lord wants you to know that your sins were done away with. He wants you to drink from His cup to realize you're not drinking from the wrath of God. You're not drinking from the cup of suffering. Not the one from condemnation. Not the one of separation. You're drinking from the cup of the love of God. We're drinking from the cup of sin set free. We're drinking from the cup of acceptation because He's made us His children now. We're drinking from the cup of fellowship. Just Him giving you the cup is a wonderful thing. Very wonderful thing. So, I'm going to ask if I can get some help here. You know, Steve and Sammy and Gary, Dad perhaps. We would just stand up here. In just a few moments, if you will stand, we will be offering you this bread and this cup, this new covenant cup, shed for many. But I want it to be your faith. I really do. I want it to be your faith that lays hold of it. We're not going to take it out there to you. We're going to hold it here, and the Lord is going to give it to you. Directly to you. I did this for you. And when you take your bread, He said, just remember as you're holding this, that's my body broken for you. It's got that big U on it. It's one thing, the world, and it's another thing when you're holding that broken body and realize that was for you. He said, my body's broken, I want yours whole. My body was beaten as a proof. He has the nail prints in His hands as proof. He has the scars in His feet. Even after resurrected, they followed Him. They were in His body, permanently there forever. And He said to Thomas, even after the resurrection, He said, look, He said, I want you to see, touch, you'll see they're there. You know why? The inevitable, undoubtable truth, unerasable, you cannot do it away, it's there forever as a proof your sins are gone. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. And all of our curse was laid upon Him. He said. And his blood was shed to give us life eternal. Life is in the blood. That wasn't man's blood. Type of the blood by the man. His father was God. He was the only one on earth that had the right to call him father. He was his father. It was God's blood that was shed, not man's blood. It wasn't Adam's blood. It wasn't natural life. It was spiritual life. And he that layeth down his life can also take it up again. But that blood was shed for us. He didn't take it back. He couldn't. If he'd have taken it back, it couldn't be for us. It was left forever and ever in heaven, purifying all things, both in heaven and on earth. That by it, all things should be purged once for all. That blood, he wants us to remember as we drink the cup of his blood, that that was to give us life, that he had come to give us life and life abundantly, and that there is power in that blood to keep us, to protect us, and to give us life on earth and life forever in heaven. He said, I want you to remember that, and when I give you this cup and when you drink it, remember it. Remember it. Put it before your eyes. Embrace it on your heart. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let someone steal it. If you find that it gets faint and off to the distance, then come and eat and drink and remember again. If you forget, relive your memory. Come back and renew it. That's what we're going to do this morning. He said, remember that my blood was shed, and when you drink this, remember that. That I gave you my life. You're not to exist on earth. You have a reason now to live. I've put my life in you. I've put my spirit in you. And he will never leave you. He will always be with you. Isn't that marvelous?